I spent the night in great distress, and early next morning I went to the house of Danda Maharaj and saw Krishna asleep in bed. Is that right? We sort of,
yeah, this is it.
His body showing signs of conjugal enjoyment. Commentary, Sarupa stayed awake all night, so there was no mention of his waking up. Adani went to Krishna and saw fingernail scratches all over Krishna's body. Krishna's simple-hearted mother came in and sat down at his side. While attending to him in various ways, she said something under her breath. Commentary. Mother Yashoda saw the same marks as Sarupa, but was not capable of wondering what had caused them. Her mind worked in a simple, straightforward way. She busied herself in bathing Krishna and getting him ready for the day. Sri Yashoda said, "Dear me, all day my little boy tended the cows in the forest. Fatigued, he was happy to go to sleep, and now he's still not awake." Commentary. Yashoda could hardly think that Krishna was not yet up because he had been awake all night dancing with the gopis. Instead, she thought he was still asleep because he was just a little boy. As he ran about the forest, nasty thorns made cuts all over his body. That's her, she continues. Commentary. This was Yashoda's explanation for the scratches made by the fingernails of the amorous gopis. But as she carefully examined and gently touched the marks with her hand, she wondered, how could thorns in the forest have cut his lips? While running all over and playing wildly with the boys, he must have fallen face first into a bush. Oh, how painful this must be for him. But now, fast asleep, he is not aware of anything, and he has smeared the cudgel from his eyes all over his body. Commentary. This cudgel was from the gopi's eyes, which Krishna had been kissing. He doesn't even know that he spilled red pan juice from his lips all over himself, and that by turning over and over in bed, he has broken his necklace and garlands and other ornaments. Commentary. The red... The red stains on Krishna's cheeks were actually from the pan chewed by the gopis, and his garlands and necklaces had broken while he was embracing them. Krishna's clothing and the protective thread on his neck were also in disarray, but Mother Yashoda ascribed all this to his rolling about in his sleep. My goodness. No. My goodness, this saffron-colored clay from the shore of the Yamuna, it seems that even his bath couldn't wash it off. It has become like an inseparable friend to his body. Commentary. This red clay was actually kumkum from the gopi's breast. Yesterday evening, those fickle girls didn't bathe him with proper attention. They didn't nicely apply the oil and wipe off what was left. Commentary. If those silly girls had bathed Krishna more carefully, she thought, the dirt would have come off. Sri Sarup said, Mother Yashoda spoke like that again and again, right in front of the young girls of Braj who had just arrived and who now had signs of fear, laughter, and embarrassment playfully shining on their faces. Commentary. Mother Yashoda's name implies that she added to Krishna's fame, Yasho Dado. The gopis arrived at Nanda Maharaj's house just as she was complaining about Krishna's disheveled state. listening to her, they became afraid that she might begin to understand what Krishna had actually been doing at night. Still, they couldn't help but laugh at her naive statements and shrink in embarrassment at seeing the obvious signs of their dalliance with Krishna. Krishna then finished his pastime of sleep, and his mother bathed him, adorned him with ornaments, and fed both him and Balaram. She made Krishna relax a short while, and he enjoyed talking with the gopis. Then she got things ready for his auspicious departure to the forest. I mean, it's a... those gopis, now they're back. Don't know who it was out with, Chandravali or Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani usually doesn't... anyway, it's not mentioned elsewhere that she comes in and does this. The gopis are necessarily around at this time. When they're coming to cook. I can't remember that they would be here at this particular time.
So you're saying this is another exception that you're...
It's just different. How much of an exception it is. She made Krishna relax a short while, and he enjoyed talking with the gopis, and he got things ready for his auspicious departure to the forest. Though the young gopis were pained at heart at the thought of soon being separated from Krishna, Mother Yashoda had them sing transcendental songs for his good fortune and ceremoniously carry full pots and other auspicious items. Commentary. No matter what ecstasy impeded them, the gopis had to do their service. After all, they had to sing, carry purna, kumbhas, full pots of water with yogurt, flowers, anhas, barley, parched rice, and other pure substances, or else Krishna's departure for the forest would not be auspicious. She sat Krishna on a chair with his elder brother and adorned their limbs with ornaments and medicinal herbs suitable for the forest. Commentary. Besides decorative ornaments, she showed to place various sizes on their body to assure their safety, such as tiger nails, enchanted talismans, protective threads, herbs meant for healing wounds, and garudamani, emeralds for guarding against poison, which means from snakes. She engaged elderly Brahmin ladies and other ladies in offering blessings, and she made Krishna do all the prescribed rituals to prepare for his outing. Commentary. Elderly Brahminis blessed Krishna as did the older gopis. Krishna was more eager to get going than touch his nose with his finger and carry out other protective rituals, but his mother gave him no choice. It's quite interesting that nowhere, either here or other shastra, other references, does Krishna in Vrindavan do or participate in any spiritual or religious activities? Only when he gets initiation in Mathura does he participate in certain activities. And of course he's going to Dwarka, then we have the picture that he's getting up in the morning and he's
meditating
and giving in charity and so on. But here he's not doing that. Nanda Maharaj probably does. but not part of his sort of Gurukul training. He's got no Gurukul training. Goes to Gurukul later, 11 years old.
Yeah, isn't that one of Vasudeva's arguments later of why Krishna couldn't go back? When Nanda Maharaj wanted to bring him back, Vasudeva said, you can't.
He's got to get initiated.
He's got to get initiated.
And technically he was the sort of father. And even more urgent is Kshatriya that that happened.
Krishna took the lunch his mother gave him for noontime, stirred the cows from their rest.
Wait, you skipped something.
Did I skip something? No?
She engaged. Oh, sorry, yes. Go ahead.
Krishna took the lunch his mother gave him for noontime, stirred the cows from their rest and got them in front of him and set off playing his flute. Commentary. Mother Yasoda had prepared lunch for Krishna to take with him, and he packed as much of it as he could in a bag tied to a stick. Then he roused the cows who were lying down and drove them forward, urging them on with the music of his flute.
Prabhupada calls it a tiffin. It's tiffin.
Just then, his companions came out in groups from the cowherd village and gathered around him. The boys were all fit to be his intimate friends. Commentary, because the attention of the cowherd boys was never diverted to anything other than pleasing Krishna. The boys needed only to hear Krishna's flute to know that it was time to leave. It hardly mattered whether they had finished having breakfast or preparing themselves. If Krishna was going to be going to the forest, they had to follow right behind. There were a great number of these companions of Krishna, and they naturally divided themselves into groups led by prominent boys. All the boys, however, were completely fit to be with the Supreme Lord in close friendship. Almost seems to imply that just as the gopis responded to the calling of the flute to enter the forest, the cowherd boys also were of the same desperation to leave and give up all their morning engagements.
Kamaraj Goswami has them already assembling outside in the courtyard,
waiting for
him. Krishna's sleeping, calling for him, wake up, wake up. And Madhu Mangal is actually sleeping with Krishna at night. So when he gets up, Madhu Mangal is actually also getting up. So they're already dressed and blowing their buffalo horns and trying to rouse him. And then it's different, because here they go straight out.
Well, they don't go straight out. Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and everybody comes up and delays him from his departure.
Well, here they go straight out, but the sequence elsewhere is following the Ashtakaliya, and he may not just be not mentioning it. Sarup is not mentioning everything. Krishna wakes up. He's bathed. That's when the Krishna wakes up. And he goes out to milk the cows, wrestles with the cowherd boys or plays some games. He may be ambushing Radharani as they're coming on their way, because that's when they're coming. And then he goes back. It's a doesn't have breakfast. He doesn't eat breakfast there. There's no mention of breakfast. Then he comes back, has his bath, big breakfast, and it's a real family gathering, which means that you got relatives coming from a lot of places, and then after breakfast rests again, may meet with Srimati Radharani, and then so the cowherd boys assemble, they're assembling to wake him up, and then he goes out, which is like around 10:00, 10:15, 10:30 that he heads out to the pastures. It's like here is not even breakfast, which is not must eat breakfast, so somehow it's just okay.
Well, I guess it's it's Sarup's
ecstasy.
Yeah. Because it's all his narration. So. And when. When did Srimati Radharani actually, Srimati Radharani send Sarup to the Mathura Brahman just before leaving for the pasturing grounds? Because he, for that particular, I think it says later, describes later, he postponed his going out to fulfill Radhika's request. So so it could be that's why he's bypassed all that, because it's already happened. And it was just as they were departing that he fulfilled Radharani's request.
Just as they were departing.
I don't know when he encountered Radharani to make the request, but it was, he specifically says they were going and I sacrificed the day, because by fulfilling Radharani's request.
And it's interesting, here you've got this picture. Where does it say that?
It's in the next chapter, I think. Definitely read it. I can find it if you want.
Well, I'm just interested just to see what it describes in terms of the background. Just the index is really poor. Really poor. Sarup faints in ecstasy, gets ladus, gopra. That's Gokumar's name, Goku Heart Prince, Sorrows, never distracting God from Vince, is ordered by Radha. 6 370. 6 6.
And this thing is. I gotta change the setting on this.
Wait, this doesn't go to 370. What kind of open book is it? What is this 6 370? On page 370. I don't know, how does it work? How does the index work? What does it mean? 6.370, 7.9 to 10, 7.7.
I don't know. I have no idea how these things work. Those are the verses, 7.
That's what I'm hoping. 7.9, 10. There's a lot more purport over here. 7.9 to 10. Early this morning, I've noted clear signs that you've gained strong faith. Early this morning, Sri Radhika herself came and ordered me. Sarup, a Brahmin from Mathura, who is my devotee, is coming to my grove. Go there alone. The first thing today, enlighten him with good instruction, console him, and help him quickly attain Krishna's grace. Sarup left home early in the morning before Krishna went out to the forest with his friends. Well, it's not necessarily the same day then, because he's describing them going out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but because you've got this picture here of Radharani sitting in a kunj, which, I don't know, maybe misleading as to, well, what you're doing sitting in a kunj. When he said it's a different thing, he said, she came. Early this morning, Radharani Devi herself came and ordered me. So, came where? She came to Nandagram, Nandagram. She came to Nandagram. As she comes to Nandagram, she meets Sarup and says, okay, Sarup, you should go. That's really funny. I'm just waiting when Radharani is going to send somebody for me. Although, Srila Prabhupada has...
I think it also says is that because of the Mathura Brahmin got the mantra from goddess
Kamyaka.
Yeah, who's an expansion of Radharani?
Distant expansion of Durga Devi.
Yeah.
My devotee. Yeah. Very extraordinary. Krishna's Srimati Radharani comes, and she's coming to do seva. And just by the way, she says, come over here. This is my devotee's coming to my grove today, which means they're up there, and today. And that sort of compares her to today down here in the material world.
Yeah.
And
there's only today here because it's only linear here, there. It's ever present.
But they think it's the past and the future up there. So they're thinking in those terms, even though it's not. And he says, okay, and he knows everything. No, it's just like Sarvagya knows everything. You know, he knows who she's talking about, where he is, and knows everything about him.
But this, of course, is the question of all questions, I guess. What was... I guess it's not. It's later revealed. I was going to say, what was his qualification to obtain that mercy? And...
he was a Mathura Brahmin to start with. Born in Mathura. And the family moved out there. Left, who's seeking call, and that dream is chanting Gopal mantra as his qualification. He's chanting the mantra. Also, same mantra as Gopal. Sarup. And he was chanting, and that gave him qualification to have such a high qualification that, all right, now it's time to bring him here. That means that he's going back to Godhead. So bring him. That's far out. And his going there is, here comes Jana Sharma. There's no talk of giving up a body.
No.
I mean, Gop Kumara, we know he's got the blessing and everything. Darn it, these glasses are scratched already.
So I'm using that cloth. You have to use microfiber cloth.
It's more from putting it down on tables. You know what I damage the most is kirtans, although I haven't done many kirtan, and they don't have one of those foam protectors on the thing, and I'm always bang, bang, bang. Oh, expensive thing, kirtans. Okay.
All right. At one moment, he and the boys played their flutes, at another, their buffalo horns, and at still another, some instruments fashioned from leaves. Thus, he and the boys showed off by playing various kinds of music. Commentary, the boys made noisemakers out of leaves and blades of darba grass they picked up from the side of the path.
Oh, we used to do that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Put them between your thumbs?
Yeah, yeah. My father taught me how to do that.
As his friends, playthings in hand, joyfully sang, danced, and glorified him, Krishna stood with his brother. Commentary. Among the various things the boys carried were balls, drums, fans, flags, seats, umbrellas, chamara fans, hand cymbals, wooden shoes, and food and drink. This was the paraphernalia for their games in the forest. The boys were very happy to be away from their homes and on the way to the forest where they could play however they liked.
The servants carried them. Those are the ones in Dasyarats.
Uh-huh. Krishna's elder brother walked in front, and I walked behind, and the girls, unable to tolerate being separated from Krishna, found excuses to follow and came out from the village, helplessly pulled by the ropes of love. Here Sarup gives the gopis only a slight mention, referring to them as Ta, those girls, because anything he says about them might stir his memories of the special relations between the gopis and Krishna and disturb the mood he is trying to set. Even though his relationship with Krishna was in Sakya Ras, if he were to remember the gopis' love for Krishna, he would be unable to control his ecstasy. The gopis could hardly justify walking out of the village in broad daylight and in front of everyone, but because they were helplessly attracted to Krishna, they were unable to tolerate his absence. Isn't this also unique? The gopis?
No, well, they were there.
Yeah, they're there. You always get this impression that they're there, but hiding behind bushes and hiding behind, standing on rooftops. They're not really coming out and disclosing their intense.
No, they're for the whole village. Goes, so because the whole village goes, they just merge in. Everyone's going. So it's, yeah, no, they go. Whoever's there is going. Doing service. And the Radharani goes, and then there's parts where they may hide behind trees and so on. And Vishwanath says she becomes so stunned in ecstasy of separation, she becomes like a wooden doll, so the gopis actually have to carry her back to Javad. And then they have to revive her over there.
Mother Yasoda saw Krishna perspiring from a mood of ecstasy and came to wipe his face and went with him as far as the outer gates of the village, her breasts wet with milk. Commentary: Krishna's face may have been perspiring because of the longing to be with the gopis that arose in him when he saw them following behind. Mother Yasoda, however, was concerned only with wiping his face. First she wiped with her hand, and when that didn't work, she used the edge of her garment. At his request, she then turned back toward the house, but oh, after two or three steps, she craned her neck and anxiously went back to her son. She made pan for him, put some in his mouth and some in his hand, and then again turned toward the house, but once again she quickly came back to him. Commentary: just like the first time, Yasoda again nervously turned around, craned her neck to see him, and came back to him. Right on the path, she fed him some fruits and some other sweet things and gave him something to drink. Then she again started going back to the house and then again turned around. She gave him a thorough looking over and adjusted his clothes and the other things he had on. And then she once more turned back, but then she again returned and plaintively gave him some instructions. Commentary: Yasoda spoke to Krishna anxiously because she knew he was naughty and would likely ignore her advice. My dear child, don't go too far into the impenetrable woods and never enter deep into the forest where there are thorns. After speaking this way at length, beseeching him to take care, she once again turned home and took a few steps, and yet again came back. My dear boy Ram, she said, you stay in front of your younger brother, and you, Sri Dama, stay behind your friend Krishna with Sarupa. You, Angsu, should stay on Krishna's right, and you, Subal, on his left. Straw between her teeth, she implored the boys with such requests. Then she looked intently at her son. Commentary:
so, yeah, it's like, even now, Mother Yashoda, next day, just immediately, is associating Sridham with Sarup. In other words, they're, yeah, he's family. It does make one think that was he there before? And you know, when Krishna asks, you know, you've been gone could mean just gone for a couple of hours in the forest. Of course, they didn't recognize him. They thought, who's the stranger?
Yeah, right. Who's the stranger to cause Krishna to fall into a swoon?
So it could have been that, you know, he was someone within their memory. There's no immediate memory of who he was. And then all of a sudden, he's a grown-up boy, part of a family. Mysterious, yeah. If I had my computer, I'd bring out Vishwanath Explains. Anyway, his perspective.
I guess it's getting caught with time. I mean, because I know that my mind really starts thinking of, you know, upon entrance, there was a time, upon re-entering or entering, then, but where is time in the spiritual world? There is no time. Time only serves the lila, serves the pastime. And as soon as we start thinking in a linear way, we can't fully understand.
And it's the effect of ecstasy, of prema. It's just so sort of goes from their minds. Not a concern. I'm just so absorbed in Krishna. Okay. They don't think the logic through, and you know, pastime goes on. Then they just accept. Yeah, well, he's grown up, I guess. It's happening. Whatever we think is happening.
So, how old is Krishna at this time?
He's in his third. Well, he's in his kashor, which means that he's 15 years and 8 months. This is eternal age.
Because he's taking cows. Also.
Well, he's in Goloka. Yeah. Yeah. That's his eternal form.
But also in Goloka, Krishna manifests. They're all, as Kavi Kanapur describes in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, all of his different, his childhood, boyhood, youth, they're all simultaneously manifest in him, and manifest whenever there's need to serve a particular pastime. So there's no question of even limiting Krishna to a particular age.
No, but Swayam Rupa Bhagavan is that.
Yes.
Is that. Shama Rupa, Param Rupa, Kaishor Adya. How does it go? I don't have here Shama Rupa, that, when Lord Chaitanya was with Rupa Goswami, and that devotee came. Shama Rupa, Param Rupa. How do you think here?
Where is it?
Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya asks, what is the original form or personality of God? What is his original, what is the highest rasa? And he asks him these questions, and that's when he meets Balabhata. Shama Rupa Param Rupa. An FCC.
FCC. None of them are unpacked yet, but do you know which one? Module 9?
Lord Chaitanya visits, meets Balabhadracharya. Lord Chaitanya meets Balabhadracharya probably get it on the computer first.
Yeah, he probably would.
And his name is, he wrote this book, Krishna Vijay, which Prabhupada said was also a nice book, authorized book, and the name's on the tip of my tongue. I think that's it, in the chapter called Meeting with Vallabhacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets with Vallabhacharya.
Well, that's Anchi Lila.
Not in Puri. This is in Prayag. So he's with Rupa Goswami in Prayag, which means it's like chapter 19 or ahead of that, might you?
Lord travels to Vrindavan is 18. Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan is 18 and instructs Rupa Goswami is 19.
Mm-hmm. There's no meeting with Vallabhacharya in the chapter.
No, the only one, Vallabhacharya, is in Anchi Lila. Let me see. Let me do a search of Vallabha. Here.
There'll be a lot of him.
Huh?
There'll be a lot of Vallabhacharya.
Well, during this time, Vallabhacharya extended an invitation to the Lord with great respect.
Yeah.
This is in Majjha 19.
Majjha 19.
Huh?
Yeah. And now if you search Shyama Rupa.
Shyama Rupa.
Param.
Sri Chaitanya, no, it's Shyama Eva Param Rupam Kahi Upajaya.
No.
That's not it. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Shyamam Eva Param Rupam Puri Madhu Puri Vara Vaya Kaishora Kam Jayam Aja Eva Paro Rasa. The form of Shyama Sunda is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon, and the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. Verses found in Padyavali.
And his name?
Huh?
His name?
His name?
Yeah, the devotee who's speaking. That's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Should just go back a little.
As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, you have certainly given first
glory.
Before.
Who said that verse?
Lord Chaitanya.
No.
Well, this is what he says. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, you have certainly.
No, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comments on that, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Raghupati Upajaya.
Raghupati Upajaya.
Reply.
He's the one who says the words.
The mellow of conjugal love is supermost.
And Kaishorya, Adya Kaishorya, the age, original age is Kaishorya.
Of the three ages of Krishna known as childhood, boyhood, and fresh youth, which do you consider best? Raghupati Upajaya replied, fresh youth is the best age. Balya Poganda Kaishori Shreshta Manakaya Vaya Kaishora Kamdeyam Kahi Upadhyaya.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was good.
Uh,
on the commentary.
The exchange between... Oh, no, wait a minute.
No.
You, Amsu, should stay on Krishna's right, and you, Subal, on his left. Straw between her teeth, she implored the boys with such requests. Then she looked intently at her son. Commentary, Balaram, the most competent of the boys, should walk in front of Krishna. Though the others would spontaneously take up their proper places, she directed them anyway, just to make sure. The phrase, ityadikam, indicates other requests. The boys should not let Krishna go into thorny and dangerous places. They should provide him shade if the sun became too intense. And they should be sure he ate nicely at lunch. Coming to the end of her list of requests, Mother Jasoda looked intently at Krishna's face to evoke promises from Krishna and the other boys that they would do what she had asked.
In this way, Mother Jasoda, anxiously going back and forth again and again, showed more love than a cow who had just given birth to a calf. Commentary. This exchange between Jasoda and Krishna went on for some time, but Surup wanted to avoid prolonging his description. Her son then bowed down to her, took hold of her feet, and embraced her, and with various rationales, and finally, with words of insistence of his own, with great effort, he made her turn back. Commentary. Krishna hoped that by showing this elaborate display of respect and affection, he could convince his mother of how seriously he took his word. He reminded her that she also had to eat breakfast and to attend to various household chores. Okay, so he did eat breakfast then, also, although it wasn't mentioned. But when all his reasons failed to convince her, he finally simply insisted very strongly that she go back. All this he had to do several times before she finally relented. And she, crying, milk dripping from her breast, stood right there, motionless like a painted picture, and distantly watched from that high place near the forest. But the lovely gopis kept following him, their throats choked with weeping. They could no longer sing nor see through the streams of tears, and their feet stumbled. In their shyness and fear, they had nothing they could do or say. Drowning in a great ocean of sorrow, they had no way to hold back their feelings. Commentary. As expressed by the word too, however, the mood of the gopis is even more exalted than that of Mother Jasoda. The gopis, the Lord's most beloved devotees, are endowed with all excellent qualities, and now the gopis were overwhelmed by various emotions, such as their natural shyness, which decorated their personalities most of the time, and their fear of what their elders must be thinking and what the consequences what might be of having left the village without permission. In the village, moreover, the gopis could counteract the pain of separation from Krishna by embracing and kissing him. But now that he was leaving for the day, there was nothing they could do. They lacked the strength even to ask, how can we live like this? According to a well-known psychological principle, Nivedyam Dukhyam Sukhino Bhavanti, unhappy people can regain their peace of mind by revealing the cause of their distress. But here the gopis couldn't even express themselves, so they remained adrift in the vast ocean of their misery. Krishna had stolen the hearts and eyes of these young girls. The girls had come so far from the cowherd village, and now with some endeavor he stopped them, and as they looked at him, he repeatedly tried to send them home. He anxiously reassured them again and again through a trusted messenger by his own gestures. He stretched his neck to glance at the girls with love, signaling with his eyebrows, Ham did what he could to make the girls shy and even afraid. In this way, he forced them to stop, and they stood in front of his mother, emotionless, just like her. Commentary: the boys were now approaching the dense forest, an unsafe place for youth, the young girls, so Krishna had to send them back. By sending a boy as his go-between and by making his own gestures, like knitting his eyebrows, shaking his head, and biting the tip of his tongue, he managed to convince them not to go any further. The gopis then joined Mother Yashoda on the same hill where the gopis stood like pictures and cried profusely, just like her. Nanda, the king of cowherds, naturally loved Krishna ever so much, but upon seeing his wife's concern, he was enslaved by overwhelming affection. Sneho darekena yantrita. Overwhelming affection for, was it contagious? Overwhelming affection for Krishna, overwhelming affection for his wife. So Nanda Maharaj had gone with Krishna a great distance and the elder cowherds with him. When Nanda saw the great burden of love all the people of Braj bore for his son, he was unable to turn back. Commentary: as the king of the coward community, Nanda would normally be surrounded by priests, advisors, and other Vrajvasis. So along with Nanda, other leaders of the community, including his elder brother Upananda, were also following Krishna. But even out of regard for their comfort, Nanda couldn't bring himself to turn back. It seems that Mother Yashoda's prema was contagious, and it lifted the prema of Nanda Maharaj to like a new height.
Because seeing his wife's loving concern, he was enslaved by her overwhelming affection. Is that what you're saying? Although the word her is not there.
Why concern? He was enslaved by overwhelming affection. Well, he was seeing her concern, and her concern brought out overwhelming affection in him, sneha. In other words, it brought it to the surface, maybe in him, but it wasn't manifest, but it was by seeing her concern, by seeing her, which means her love, then it brought up his love. Nanda was delighted to see many auspicious omens and see the animals and other creatures all very happy, yet he was distraught at having to be parted from his son Krishna. Commentary: the animals showed auspicious symptoms. They had full faces and bodies and were circling Nanda clockwise. The deer, birds, and other forest creatures were happy because their time for being separated from Krishna was night, and now it was time for Krishna to join them in the forest. Again and again he embraced Krishna and Krishna's elder brother, both separately and together. He smelled their heads and shed tears in the pain of great love for them. Then Krishna bowed down to Nanda, reminded him of the many duties Nanda had to perform, and sent him home. Turned back, Nanda stood motionless, looking at Krishna and nothing else. Commentary: Krishna convinced Nanda, "You are needed at home to save the villagers from becoming too wretched over my absence." Also in the afternoon, Nanda would have to organize the decorating of the village for Krishna's return. Such an extraordinary phenomenon. I mean, if you consider, okay, here's this village, and, you know, life's going on. They're doing all kinds of things. But then, you know, they just like, the whole village becomes overwhelmed by love. Everything is centered around this one person. I mean, you have events when people are centered, but it's It's not a loving thing. I don't know, some heroes coming, some rock star football star coming back to a village. But and then okay, now and you get ready for when I come back.
Yeah, what confuses me when I hear this, well, I mean, I can understand, but it's almost like it's reverential. You know, preparing for his reception. And
why reverential?
Well, there's definitely a lot of focus on receiving Krishna. These things right here just described, we have to organize the decorating of the village for Krishna's return.
But that's not because he's Supreme Personality of God.
No.
That's because they do that for all kinds of people. And that's how you receive somebody.
Still, it almost seems like there's an element of reverence there.
Element? It's always there. There's always this undercurrent of... it's there in the Bhagavatam. Karma-bhir. Uddhava's leaving, so Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan, that verse, it starts, Karma-bhir unmananam. And there it shows reverence. Chapter 48. Karma-bhir-brahmyamananam.
Chapter 48 is Krishna pleases his devotees.
No, in chapter 47.
Song of the Bee.
Okay, let's see if it's 47.
Uddhava visits Vrindavan.
Yeah.
46.
No. 47 is when he's leaving. Karma Bir.
Karma Bir Brahmyamanana. Yatra Kvapishvarech Chaya. Wherever we are made to wander about this world by the Supreme Lord's will, in accordance with the reactions to our fruit of work, may our good works and charity always grant us love for Krishna. Nanda, the previous verse says, may our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, may our words always chant his names, and may our bodies always bow down to him and serve him. Report, the residents of Vrindavan were firmly convinced that even if they could not have direct association with their beloved Krishna, they would never be indifferent to him. They were all topmost pure devotees of the Lord.
But now here's his father. Father doesn't bow down. And there's a whole section, I think the Jiva Goswami was explaining that the bottom ground is this dasya. It's always there. That there's element of dasya. I mean, all the moods are there, but the element of dasya is, and sometimes that sort of
the foundation surfaces,
and it comes out at different times on different occasions. Yeah.
Then also, Govinda Maharaj. He uses that analogy. Was not so much in reference to dasya, but it's in reference to Aishwarya. I like blade of grass inside the pot of boiling milk sometimes comes to the surfaces as the milk is.
Vishwanath's example. Yeah.
In the same way that sometimes Aishwarya manifests in their perception of Krishna, and then immediately just gets swallowed up by the continuous motion.
I think when Nanda Maharaj is coming after Krishna kills Kamsa in Mathura, and he sent Nanda Maharaj back. Nanda Maharaj calls him father.
Yes. Yeah. That's in Vrila Bhagavatamrita.
It's in Vrila Bhagavatamrita.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Karma Diya Brahmimana Nam.
You're going to have to give me the file again. Is this because this is full? I have to empty it out. It's shut off.
Then you should format it.
Yeah.
Instead of just replacing.